What up, Doc Squad? I see that you are still here listening to the High Ticket Doc Podcast, and I absolutely love that for you. There is a lot of great content here. However, I did want to let you know that we are in a new location under a new name. I want to encourage you to pull up your favorite podcast app, go to the search bar, and search for the Doctor Coach School Podcast. If you love this podcast, then trust me, we are leveling up our transformational coaching and everything that we talk about on this podcast in the Dr. Coach School Podcast. So join me over there. Listen, feel free to binge listen to as much as you want here, but also for brand new episodes every single Monday at 5 a.m., join me on the Dr. Coach School Podcast. As soon as you pull it up, make sure you hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. Peace and love. Hello and welcome to the Productive on Purpose podcast. Are you a high-achieving woman of color who struggles with imposter syndrome, procrastination, and self-sabotage? Are you tired of going to bed each night hoping that tomorrow will be a better day, only for it to be more of the same? Are you sick of empty affirmations that make you feel good but don't actually lead to change? And are you over being shamed and yelled at to do the work with no insight as to how to get it done? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then friends, you are in the right place. I am your host, Dr. Kimmy, an award-winning, board-certified physician and professor. I am also your purpose coach. Here on the POP Podcast, we are about actual transformation. This podcast will provide actionable strategies to help you walk in your purpose. Let's get started. Hey, what up, squad? Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I am so excited that you have stuck around for all of this and come on this journey with me. If you are just listening to the podcast for the first time, you really, really should rewind all the way back to the beginning. Start with episode zero. From there, you'll be able to understand why I'm doing this podcast, and you'll be able to delve very, very deeply into my background, my story. My story and my history informs every single thing that I'm doing on this podcast. So it is in your best interest to start from the beginning. Plus, I spill all the tea. It's really juicy. You want that good stuff. And so if you have already listened to those episodes and you are just itching for more, you want to know, okay, so I heard your background, I heard your story. I'm trying to figure out, okay, how did you overcome the imposter syndrome, the anxiety, the procrastination? Okay, I am going to give you all of the principles that I have used. These principles are forming the foundation of this entire podcast. So everything we talk about, all of the guests that we bring on, everything is going to be related to these principles. And I call these the POP principles. So really quick, just as an overview, I am a board certified pediatric hospitalist who is married. I have two kids. From, you know, the outside looking in, I had everything together. Everything was great. Inside, I knew that I was not living my best life. I was waking up every day frazzled, just hurrying through my morning, hurrying through my day, not making any progress toward my goals. I didn't even really have goals. I was just working, trying to make it through the day and going to bed every night. I didn't have like an overall like mission or purpose for my life. And as a result, my life was basically passing me by. I was not achieving any of the things in life that I wanted to achieve. I was an anxious mess. I was a self-sabotager. And like I said, you can go back and listen to my entire story to really understand where I'm coming from or where I've come from. However, in the past year, just in the past year alone, I have made humongous progress toward my goals. First of all, I developed goals. And then once I set them, I made steady progress toward them. And now I really do feel like I'm walking in my purpose. I'm living the life that God intended me to live. And I want that for you. If you are listening to this, then you are a member of the Pop Squad. I want that for you. So let me break it down just a little bit more. I really need you guys to understand how bad things were for me. I know I keep talking about this, but it's really important to understanding where I am now. When I say I was a mess, I was a mess. I'm talking about every day and every week just kind of going by and things just sort of happening to me. I'm putting out fires. You know, I'm doing my doctor thing. I'm doing my educator thing at work, doing the mom thing, but just sort of scrambling, right? I didn't even have the wherewithal to make a plan for what we were going to have for dinner because it's just like I was not thinking ahead to anything in the future. I was just taking things minute by minute, second by second. Now, there's something to say for just kind of taking life as it comes, but when you have as many balls in the air as I have and you're trying to juggle everything, it is very, very difficult. And I, instead of intentionally dropping balls like I do now and like I preach on my blog and everything, I was just like balls were just falling, y'all. There was no intentionality to it. I was behind chronically. I was in not only financial debt, but also time debt with everything. I owed people things. I would tell people that I was going to do something. I didn't write it down. I didn't have it in a planner. It would get to the day that I said I was going to deliver on that promise. I would not have had it done. Then I'd be scrambling. Everything was done at the last minute. I was just frazzled. I was just living day to day, just putting out fires, just so many fires. I talked in the last episode about, or maybe it was the one before that, about how my mother was sick. I'd be in the hospital with her, but we'd be getting phone calls saying, well, why aren't you here at the hospital taking care of patients? It's like I had no forward thought. As a result, because I was not living my best life, I wasn't walking my purpose. I felt it. Like I felt unsettled. I was short with my kids and they didn't deserve that. They're little kids. They didn't ask for any of this. But I'd be frazzled with them because I just spent an hour and a half snoozing in the morning. How is it their fault that we're rushing? Why am I yelling at them? Because I'm the one that decided to snooze for an hour and a half, like stuff like that. Like that was my life every single day. I remember getting evals at work where my boss would be like, you're doing great on this, this and that. The only thing we have to say is that we just like don't know where you are. Sometimes it's like really hard to find you. And that's because I didn't even know where I was supposed to be half the time. It was, guys, I'm telling you, I was not making progress toward goals. I had no goals. I wasn't even setting resolutions. Now you'll learn that I don't believe in resolutions, but at least resolutions, at least you're like trying to set something out for your future, trying to make something happen. I wasn't even doing that. I was not doing anything. I was just existing. I wasn't living. I was existing. And as I go through the episodes, you'll be able to learn more about how specifically how I was able to change things around. But I want to tell you the story of what kind of made the difference for me. I was sitting in my house one day and I was working from home. And I just remember it was near my 35th birthday. And I was very sad because my mother had me when she was 35. And then this was the first birthday I was experiencing without her. So there was a lot of anxiety, a lot of angst about that. And I was watching YouTube videos while I was getting some work done. And one of my favorite YouTubers, Amy Landino, so check out her YouTube page. She's phenomenal. But she started talking about the 5-second rule and she was interviewing with Mel Robbins. And I will do an entire episode on the 5-second rule. My goal, like, a dream, like stretch goal, would be to have Mel Robbins on this podcast one day. And I'm just going to put that out there that that is going to happen one day. That would be such an amazing blessing. But Mel Robbins was talking about how she, at one point in her life, had lost her job, her husband's business was failing, and she would basically not want to wake up out of bed every day. Now that caught my ear. I wasn't really watching the video. I was more so, it was in the background. But once she said that, I perked up, because then I was like, wait, that kind of sounds like me. Now, my whole life was not falling apart, but because of the anxiety and the stress of every day, I was snoozing. I wouldn't want to get out of bed, and then I would be like scrambling and rushing. And she was basically saying how she did the same thing. And then she talked about how the 5-second rule really changed the game for her. Again, I'm going to do an entire episode on the 5-second rule, but that was the first time that I realized, like, okay, I can do something about this feeling. Like, I don't have to be chronically, you know, overwhelmed, chronically self-sabotaging, chronically procrastinating. Like, I can get a hold of my life. The first thing I did was I got a therapist. So I am always going to be a proponent of therapy. Nothing I say on this podcast is going to override the fact that you need a therapist. Listen, sis, if you're listening to this podcast, you need a therapist. If you're not listening to this podcast, tell the people who are not listening to this podcast that they also need a therapist. We all need a therapist, point blank, period. So it wasn't until I went to a therapist that I even started having the mental clarity to develop and even think about these principles. Once I started implementing them, and it wasn't like I just sat down and developed principles and then said, okay, I'm going to implement them. It was about 2 years of me trying different things. They weren't working, trying something else, retooling it. So I started this journey 2 years ago, but you heard me say in the last year was when I made the biggest strides. Honestly, it was starting the summer of 2019. So in the last like 6 to 8 months is when I started making significant progress. And it wasn't until I started putting all of these tools together and doing them simultaneously and really getting clear on what my objectives were, what my goals were, and then what these principles were. And I did that through my blog. So I'll talk about my blog in a second. But I did that through my blog. And once I got clear on that and started putting them all together, that's when my life started taking off in a positive way. But I had been trying stuff for 2 years. I promise all of this is going to get clearer and clearer as the episodes go on, but I don't want to spend too much time talking about that. I just want to give you a general overview of the 5 principles. Like I said, we are going to be coming back to these principles time and time again on this podcast. They lay the foundation for everything that we're going to discuss. Everything that we're going to discuss. These 5 principles will allow you to become productive on purpose. So these are the pop principles, right? So once you sort of master these principles, and it's a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. I still have days when I'm, you know, not utilizing all of these principles, but in general, doing these 5 things are what allowed me to start living. I really feel like I am actually living now. Guys, it is such an amazing feeling to wake up in the morning and know what you're supposed to be doing that day. And it just seems so basic, but like, whew, that's such a big deal to know that you can actually accomplish your goals, to know that you can do hard things, because you start off the day by doing something hard. And then we're going to talk about that in a second. To know that you can overcome overwhelm, to know that you can reach your goals without self-sabotage. Self-sabotage and procrastination, perfectionism, all of that is on the same spectrum. And I lived on that spectrum, y'all. But I really, really do feel like now I have and am overcoming. It's sort of like, and I don't want to trivialize substance use or substance abuse at all, but you know, when someone is an abuser, they, even after they recover, they always say that they're recovering. So I will always say that I am a recovering procrastinator. I'm never going to say I completely have overcome, because it is a day-to-day journey. However, these 5 principles allow me to overcome on a day-to-day basis. And then the next day I have to be very vigilant to make sure I don't fall back into my patterns. But I'm so much better, so much farther along than I've ever been. And I want that for you guys. I want to share that with you guys. Okay, so let's get started. Again, this is just going to be a brief general overview. You're going to say, but I want more. Tell me more. Like, how do I do this? How do I implement these principles? Well, you got to keep listening to the podcast because we are going to go through these in great, great detail, because y'all are not going to be able to get rid of me. I'm going to be doing this podcast basically forever. So you will become very, very, very well versed, very well versed in these principles. Okay. So the POP principles, there are five of them. And once you master these, you will become productive on purpose. And I truly believe in these principles because I have seen how they have allowed me to become productive on my purpose and to go from an overwhelmed procrastinator who didn't have her stuff together to a procrastinator who is recovering and is actually making progress toward goals in life. So I'm going to run through the principles and then I'm going to go through them in a little bit of greater detail. And then, yeah, let's go ahead and get started. So principle number one is prayer. Now, if you're listening to this, you're probably like, wait, prayer? What? Like, we're starting with prayer? Yes, I am a Christian through and through, unabashedly. I believe in and I worship my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I truly, truly believe and know that I would not be where I am today without His grace and mercy. If you are not a Christian, should you turn off this podcast right now? I don't think so. I think that the principles that I utilize, even this prayer principle, can be beneficial to you, even if you have a different belief set. So just hear me out. So we're going to talk about this more when we talk about principle number four. However, I just want to lay the groundwork that everything that I do, these other four principles, are being grounded by prayer. And I'm very specific with my prayers. I write them down during my morning routine, and I'm very intentional and specific, like I said, about my prayers. So we'll get into it more when we go through each principle in greater detail on further podcasts. But just know, I am a Christian. I believe in prayer. And honestly, there are some challenges that we go through in life that really we just cannot, in our own human understanding, there's no way for us to overcome them without a higher power. So my higher power happens to be God and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what I believe in. And yeah, I believe prayer is the reason that I am here today. I will delve into this, like I said, a little bit more, because I know you guys are probably like, well, what kind of prayer? How do you pray? We'll do a whole podcast episode on it. But for now, I just want to say everything that I talk about is grounded in prayer. Okay. Principle number two, POP principle number two, the zone of proximal greatness. Y'all, this was the one that was the game changer. This was the one, actually, I can't say that. They were all game changers. Honestly, they're all really good principles, let me tell you. But the zone of proximal greatness, when this one came to me, it was like, it just changed the game. So let me explain. So if you are in education, you've probably heard of the zone of proximal development. This is a little bit different. This is the zone of proximal greatness. This is a phrase that I have coined. This is my phrase. And basically what it means is a lot of us spend a lot of time thinking about, okay, what are all the great and amazing things I want to accomplish? This happens every January, right? We set New Year's resolutions. And not only that, but we do these elaborate vision boards. And on our vision board, what do we have? We have a mansion, we have a boat, we have a Mercedes or a Tesla nowadays. All these amazing stretch goals, which are great, but we have no tangible way to get from where we are now to where we want to be. How are we going to get into that mansion? How are we going to get into that yacht? How are we going to get that Tesla? Right? So the zone of proximal greatness teaches us that we do not need to focus on becoming great right now. I just need to focus on becoming my next best self. So proximal meaning next to, right? The zone, we want to move into the zone of proximal greatness. How can I become my next best self? What does that mean? What is realistic? What is feasible for me to become my next best self? Now, once I move into that zone and I'm doing that, then I move again to the next zone. How do I now become my next best self? Do you understand? So as you are moving into your zone of proximal greatness, and then you move over to the next one, you look back and then you've made it. So let's use a football analogy. So for those of you who love football, you'll be right with me. And even if you don't know football and you don't understand it, I'm going to break it down for you. So a football game, and I am not an expert in football, but I know the basics. So a football game, right? So you are trying to get into the end zone, right? You're trying to score that touchdown. That is your ultimate goal. Your ultimate goal is to move into the end zone. However, how do you do that? You do that by moving the ball incrementally, step by step, to getting a first down. So if you've ever watched football, you see them talking about getting a first down. Once you get that first down, then you can keep going. You can keep going toward your next goal, which is another first down. And basically, the first down zones keep moving as you're moving the ball. And then eventually you get into the end zone. Now, if you don't make it to the first down, then what happens? Now you have a second down. And you still need to move to that first down marker, because if you don't do that by the fourth down, you have to turn the ball over to the opposing team. So what we are trying to do is move into that zone that allows us to get the first down. And if we just keep getting first downs over and over and over again, right, we'll eventually get a touchdown. I think, see, this is where it's kind of fall apart, because I don't know all the specifics, but I'm pretty sure a football stadium is 100 yards. Is that right? I know a first down is 10 yards. Y'all don't come for me. Don't be on my Instagram page talking about you don't know anything about football. Why are you using football analogies and you don't know anything about football? I apologize in advance. Listen, I'm pretty sure. I think that's how it works. But anyway, you want to move and get that first down. And then as you get first downs, you're moving. You're moving the ball. You're getting closer to that end zone. Now, from time to time, you'll see the quarterback make a daring move, and they'll pass the ball to someone who will just try to run the entire length of the field. Like, forget first downs. I'm going to run this ball all the way to the end. Or the quarterback will say, I'm going to find someone. I'm going to just throw this ball into the end zone and hope someone catches it. Now, is that successful? Sometimes it is, but most of the time it isn't. Most of the time, that person, running back, again, don't come for me. I'm sorry if I got the name wrong. But the running back or whomever is running that ball down that field is going to get tackled by somebody, right? Whereas if they had just focused on moving the ball 10 yards and then getting that first down, then they can keep going to get another first down and another first down and end up in the end zone. Similarly, if the quarterback throws the ball 10 yards, or he himself moves the ball 10 yards, then he's gotten that first down. Now you could take a chance and try to throw it at somebody who's all the way in the end zone, but are you going to be successful? Sometimes you will, most of the time you won't. That is exactly the principle of the zone of proximal greatness. How can I become my next best self? How can I just move the ball that 10 yards that I need to go to become my next best self and then keep going? But don't necessarily, like, you have the goal. My goal is to get the touchdown, but I'm not just going to shoot straight for it. All I'm focusing on is moving incrementally into my zone, my personal zone of proximal greatness. That is one of the ways that you overcome that overwhelm. I apologize, my microphone just kind of bounced a little bit. So sorry if you heard that. If you refer back to episode 0, the disclaimers, I do not edit my podcast, so all of this will be in there. but we're just trying to move the ball incrementally. If we want to make true, lasting progress, if we want to avoid that self-sabotage that we do when we're trying to achieve big goals, right? Because we say, oh, I want to buy a mansion, but then it's like, how do I actually buy it? So then we end up doing nothing, right? If we just say, okay, I'm going to save, I don't know, $100 a month, or I'm going to invest $100 a month. Eventually, will you have enough money to get a mansion? That's not a very good example. Ignore that. But what I'm saying is we want to become our next best self rather than focusing on the long game, the end goal. The goal is there. I'm not saying don't set the goal. The goal is there, but we want to just move incrementally toward it. Again, this is just a general overview. I will give more specifics as the episodes go along, so just hang tight. Okay. POP principle number 3, mindset doesn't matter. Now, okay, wait. Before you click off of this podcast and go on Instagram and tag me in a story and said, I just listened to this crazy girl on Apple Podcasts telling me that mindset doesn't matter. She's crazy. Just hear me out. Okay. Obviously, your mindset determines essentially everything that you do in your life. I am not saying that your mindset doesn't matter at all. What I'm saying is when we focus on mindset as the first step, we will usually fail. What do I mean by that? So there's a lot of gurus, a lot of coaches, a lot of folks out there in the interwebs telling you to change your mindset. Change your mindset, change your mindset. Affirm your way to greatness, yada, yada, yada. Listen, if it were that easy, wouldn't we all do it? Wouldn't we just all wake up, read an affirmation to ourselves in the mirror, and then go and slay our goals every day? Like, that's what we would do, right? It is not that simple. It is not that simple because that is not the approach you should take. Mindset, your mindset will change as a result of your actions. Let me say that again. Your mindset will change as a result of your actions. Here's an example. Okay, let's take it all the way back. Let's go back to the ancestors. Okay, so our ancestors, right? So let's say you're living in a cave, right? You run out of food. You know you need to go leave the cave to be able to hunt. However, there was a greater risk that if I leave the cave, I'm more likely to get eaten by a lion, tiger, or bear. Oh my, right? So my mind, my brain is going to tell me, and probably the folks around me, no, don't leave the cave. Don't do that big, scary thing. Let's just stay here warm and safe. Because I know if you stay here warm and safe, you're not going to get eaten. You're not going to get eaten by the lion, but you're probably also not going to get the food that you want. So there's a risk either way, but your brain is always that primitive part of your brain that is still inside of you is going to tell you not to do scary things. Your favorite coach on Instagram is going to tell you to do scary things. Literally, I scroll Instagram all the time and people are like, do the hard things, push through the pain. And they're just telling you these affirmations or yelling at you to get stuff done and to just do the hard thing and just overlook the fear. But it is really hard to do that. Your brain will sabotage you every time. Your brain will tell you, no, you cannot do the hard stuff because hard stuff is scary. And scary stuff means we could get killed. Now, nowadays, the things that we consider scary are not necessarily related to getting eaten by a lion or a tiger, right? It might be starting a business. It might be, you know, starting a YouTube channel, that type of thing. However, that's still that primitive part of your brain is always going to keep you inside the cave. It's going to want to keep you inside the cave. So even when you're doing something as simple as checking your email or going looking in your planner for your plans, your brain is going to be like, listen, let's not do that hard stuff. That just feels hard. I'd rather watch Real Housewives or scroll Facebook every single time. And a lot of us will tell ourselves, well, I work better under pressure. It's not that you necessarily work better under pressure. It's just that last minute like deadline is sometimes the only thing that can override that primitive part of our brain that's telling us, don't do this, don't do this, don't do it. It's scary. So reading all of the affirmations in the world is not going to train or change that part of your brain. It just isn't. Trust me, I've tried, I've been there. It ain't going to work. Nothing is going to change. However, I'm also not telling you just like, well, push through the pain. I'm utilizing a strategy. I'm going to be telling you about a strategy that you can utilize to actually change your mindset. Mindset does in fact matter, but it's just how you change your mindset is through the actions that you do. You can convince your brain to do hard things by doing hard things. Now, I know you're like, but you just told me my brain's going to tell me not to do hard things. Just hear me out. I am now going to move to pop principle number 4, the morning promise. So the morning promise is one of the ways that you can train your mind to do hard things. And it's going to help you to do hard things later on in the day and later on in your life. So what is the morning promise? Well, every night before we go to bed, what do? We usually set an alarm. Set an alarm for 5 a.m., 6 a.m. We usually set it for an aspirational time, a time that we want to be out of bed. But then what do? We set a snooze alarm with it, or we set a series of several, like I saw someone whose first alarm went off at 4:30 in the morning, and the last alarm went off at like 6:30. So she had like literally like 15 alarms between 4:30 and 6:30. And this person is not alone. I think most of us do this. And even if we don't set multiple alarms, we snooze, right? So we hit that snooze button every single morning. And then what do? We end up waking up frazzled and rushed like I did basically every day of my adult life until this past year. That is teaching that primitive part, that cave woman part of our brain that's trying to keep us inside the cave, that is reinforcing that cave woman brain, because our brain is like, see, you can't even keep the promise to yourself of waking up in the morning. Like, girl, that to-do list that you're trying to do at 2 p.m. Yeah, right. We can't do that. Let's just scroll social media. So one of the ways that you are able to override your mindset and change your mindset is to stop snoozing, to keep the first promise that you make to yourself. So think about this. Imagine if you had a friend that promised you every morning she would come pick you up at 8 a.m. to get you to work. And every single day she either came at like 8:45 or 9 o'clock, or she just didn't come at all. Would that person be your friend for much longer? Probably not. But every day in the evening, she told you, I am going to come get you at 8. And you would be ready by 8, but then she just wouldn't come. This is what we do to ourselves every time we snooze. We make a promise to ourselves that we're going to wake up in the morning at a certain time, and then we don't. We don't do it. We break our promises to ourselves every single morning. The biggest change, I keep saying the biggest change, all of them worked together to help me to move me to more of my goals. But one of the first things I did when I was on this journey, and one of the first things that Mel Robbins taught me with her 5-second rule, was to stop snoozing and get out of bed. Getting out of bed in the morning, first thing in the morning, especially as early as I have to wake up, is hard. But that is a hard thing that teaches your cavewoman brain that, yes, I can do hard things. So when the hard things come up later on in your day or in your life, the cavewoman's like, okay, I guess hard things are not so bad after all. You can change your mindset just by keeping that first morning promise to yourself. I know on the surface, it seems like those two things are totally unrelated, but I'm telling you, the only way you can train yourself to do hard things is to start doing the hard things. And once you look back, you say, man, I did that. And that sense of accomplishment is everything. It's everything, y'all. Confidence is a muscle. You can build confidence, self-confidence, right? Even small things I was avoiding because I just felt like, I can't do this. It's too hard. And I would just zone out by scrolling social media. You might zone out in another way. You might zone out by just like checking emails all day and doing like frivolous busy work all day rather than actually moving toward your goals. But you can override that, not necessarily by affirmations, but by keeping your first morning promise to yourself, teaching your brain that yes, I can do hard things, and then continue to change your mindset that way. You change your mindset through your actions. So that's pop principle number four. And the last one is your purposes and the edges. So Toni Morrison, prolific writer, author, Dr. Toni Morrison, passed away last year. And I really wish I had learned about this quote that she made while she was alive. But when she passed away, I started looking at some of her prior interviews and things like that. And a reporter asked her, how was she able to start her career when she had been a single mother, and I think her late 30s or 40s. She was a single mother raising her children, had a full-time job, but that's when she started her writing career. And the reporter was fascinated by this, right? And it's totally a logical question. Like, how were you able to do this? And something she said, I mean, this, when I tell you, this changed the game for me. Like I said, I keep saying that all these things change the game, but combined, like this is one piece of it. She said, I would write in the edges of the day. First of all, just the beauty of that imagery and the word choice of how she put that together is why she is Toni Morrison, the edges of the day. But she went on to say, you know, 10 minutes here, you know, 30 minutes there, 15 minutes here, after I put the kids to bed, before they woke up in the morning. But she didn't spend these long stretches of time writing. She would just write in the edges of the day because that's all she had. That's what she worked with. And when you write in the edges of the day, guess what you are? You're a writer. When you don't write, but you say you want to write a book, then you are an aspiring writer. But she became an actual writer by just writing in the edges of the day. Y'all, when I heard that, I was like, that's it. That's it. And that's one of the ways to move into your zone of proximal greatness, developing habits, but realizing that they don't have to be these big, overwhelming habits. They can just be in the edges of the day. Your purpose is in the edges. 15 minutes here, 10 minutes there. After you put the kids to bed, just do, you know, a 15-minute workout routine, or you write a paragraph, or even if you write two sentences. If you write two sentences a day, you're still a writer, and eventually you will have a book. That was such beautiful imagery for me. And whenever I feel overwhelmed, because like I said, I'm recovering, this still happens, where I feel like, okay, I need this big stretch of time to do X, Y, Z. I just remember her words. I wrote in the edges of the day. Your purpose is in the edges. Just the little snippets of time here and there, they add up and they compound on each other and they allow you to walk in your purpose even when you have limited time. All right, guys. So with all that being said, so we talked about all of the pop principles. So I want to encourage you to head on over to my website, www.productivepurpose.com, and download the Planning for Procrastinators guide. If you are a procrastinator like me and you want to get started on some of these principles, like how do I overcome them? How do I have plans and actually execute them? Download that guide. It's really going to help you along your journey. You can also go there and download and sign up on the email list to get access to the Habit Building Masterclass. And the Habit Building Masterclass utilizes all of these principles, and there's a workbook that goes along with it. So I really, really think that it would be beneficial for you if you're like, but I want a little bit more. Like I said in the last episode, if you're not on my mailing list, go to the website, productivepurpose.com, and join the mailing list. If you were like, I love these principles, I really want to go deeper, listen, when you're on your my mailing list, you will get access to podcast episodes. You'll know once they drop, when they go live, and additional resources that are going to help you on your journey. Some of you, like I said, have been reaching out to me, asking me how you can work with me. And that information is coming too, but it's going to go first to my email subscribers. So you really, really do want to get on that list so you can learn about ways that you can work with me in the future. So I just want to summarize the POP principles. So the first principle is prayer. The second principle is the zone of proximal greatness. The third principle is mindset doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, sis, at least not at first, right? You have to change your actions to change your mindset. Number four, the morning promise. Keeping your first morning promise to yourself is the way, is one of the best ways to change your mindset. And then with all of that being said, once you're walking and moving toward walking your purpose, remember that your purpose is in the edges. Doesn't need to be a huge swath of time, just in the edges of the day. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Like I said, we're going to be delving into these topics in great detail. You guys are going to hear more stories of my life and how these principles helped me to overcome and helped me to move toward walking in my purpose and actually living. I am living. The fact that you are hearing my voice on this podcast is a testament to how I'm actually living my life nowadays and not just letting things happen to me. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode and stay tuned. I'm going to drop episodes every week, but this is the last episode in the launch series. So I'm super excited that you were here for that. And yeah, stay tuned. Remember to head on over to productivepurpose.com and follow me on Instagram at productive_on_purpose. All right, y'all, peace and love. Thank you for listening to the Productive on Purpose podcast. Now, take the next step. Head on over to www.productivepurpose.com to download your free Planning for Procrastinators workbook. It's time to start walking in our purpose, y'all. I'll catch you on the next episode.